It's been our happy privilege, by the way, thank you for that lovely number. It's been our happy privilege to have Dr. Basil Jackson with us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We met some time ago in Augusta, Georgia, and ever since that time, after extending him an invitation to come to Raleigh, it finally came to be. And we're glad he's with us, although we're sorry that this is his concluding service. But now it's my happy privilege to introduce and present to you Dr. Basil Jackson, Minister of the Word of God. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read verse 10, and then we'll jump a little bit just to save time. And please remember that the Apostle Paul here is writing to believers. He is writing to those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." And then verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." Now that is a very succinct summary of the content of all of the New Testament. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." And this is the phrase that I'd like to concentrate on in our message today. "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We are ambassadors for Christ. Some weeks ago, I had the privilege and the honor of having dinner with Sir Lionel Lecoux. And he is a very well-known gentleman, and he served for many years as the ambassador of a South American country to the court of St. James in London. And as I talked with him and listened to him, I became interested in the work and the world of an ambassador. And my mind immediately went back to these words of the Apostle Paul. "Now we are ambassadors for Christ." The tool of an ambassador is the written word and the spoken word. Everything that an ambassador has to do is concerned with communication and with the word. And of course, we realize that the pen, that the word, the written word is mightier than the sword. And all down through human history, we recognize that words have shaped human destiny. Now, words at times can also be humorous. And there is a story told about the great Disraeli and the great Prime Minister Gladstone. They had both served as Prime Ministers under Queen Victoria of the British Empire. And once they were engaging in a contest against each other in the election. And then, as now, they engaged in a certain amount of election rhetoric. And in this election, Disraeli was asked the difference between a misfortune and a calamity. And he replied, well, if Gladstone fell into the River Thames, that would be a misfortune. If someone pulled him out again, that would be a calamity. So today, I want to speak about a person who is skilled with words, an ambassador. Not everybody thinks highly of ambassadors. And indeed, as we look at the shenanigans going on in the United Nations in New York, sometimes I don't think very highly of that institution and of ambassadors. And I think that sometimes the behavior of an ambassador is well summed up in the words of Henry Lytton in the 17th century. And in the 1600s, he said, an ambassador is an honest man who is sent overseas to lie for the good of his country. But that is not the kind of ambassador that we are to be for Jesus Christ. And as I began to think of the work and the function of an ambassador, it came to me that there are certain characteristics, certain prerequisites that an ambassador has. What are these characteristics? Because if we can learn these characteristics in the secular world, then by analogy we can learn something about our functioning in the Church of God, in the Kingdom of God, as we are as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now, the word ambassador itself, it comes from a Latin infinitive, ambactiare, which simply means to go on a mission. To go on a mission. And that is the function that we have today. Those of us who know Jesus Christ the Savior, we have been sent to communicate to this world the message that we have read, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now we know that an ambassador is the highest diplomatic representation between governments. We know that an ambassador always has the privilege of seeing the king or seeing the president. We know that an ambassador always carries sealed credentials. In most countries, the prerequisite to be an ambassador is that they must be native born. We also recognize that an ambassador has no personal power whatsoever. His power lies in the fact that he is a representative of the president or of the king. And we recognize that an ambassador always lives in a foreign land, in a foreign culture, in a foreign situation. And then we recognize that diplomatically, an ambassador must be very careful how he behaves because he represents the king. Now let us look at these in a little bit more detail. The first mark of an ambassador is that he must be a citizen. In most countries, it would be impossible ever to be appointed as an ambassador unless we were native born. Now it is exactly the same in the kingdom of God. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you this day. In order to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, it is necessary, first of all, to be born again into the family of God, to have passed from death unto life, to have made a personal commitment of yourself to Jesus Christ, to be born again, to have come alive in Jesus Christ. And the tragedy that I see as I travel around the world is that I meet many people and they are trying to serve God, and they are trying in some degree to be an ambassador for God, and they have never entered the kingdom of God, and they have never been born again by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And I see people and they tell me in all sincerity, well, I am a Christian because my parents were Christians. I see other people and they tell me, well, I'm a Christian because I never hurt anybody or do any harm to anyone. Other people tell me, well, I'm a Christian because I'm a member of a church, a denomination. Other people tell me, I'm a Christian because I have been baptized, or because I partake of the Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper, or the Holy Communion. My friend, all of these things are good and excellent in themselves, but they do not make you a Christian. There is only one way, one method, one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. And that makes good, logical, philosophic sense. Because if I could have been saved by my own work or my own merit, then the death of Christ was the greatest catastrophe in human history. And the reason that Jesus died on the cross was because he recognized and he appreciated the fact that I could never become a Christian in my own strength or in my own power. And then we see Jesus in John chapter 3, and he was speaking to a clergyman. He was speaking to a rabbi. And he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you have to be born again. Now Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus was a preacher. Nicodemus was a man who was searching for truth, but all of these things together did not constitute the new birth for him, and Jesus put his finger on the nucleus of the problem and said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul says, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of rebirth, that is being born again, and the renewing which belongs to the Holy Spirit, that is the ongoing, daily filling and refilling and filling again by the Holy Spirit in our lives. My friend, in Raleigh today, let me ask you this question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you said, Jesus, be my Savior? Right now, my friend, right in this audience, I would like you to bow your head and close your eyes. Right now, I would like every eye closed in this congregation today. And you, my friend, in this great listening radio audience, if it's possible for you to do the same, I would like you to do that. Right now, my friend, with your eyes closed, I want to confront you. I want to confront you with this question. Are you born again by the power of God's Holy Spirit? Was there a time ever in your life where you said, Jesus, be my Savior? My friend, because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, I can stand in this pulpit today and say, this is the message of the gospel that you today can say, Jesus, be my Savior. And right now, my friend, if you would like to make that eternal decision right now, pray with me. In your own heart, silently, pray this prayer with me. Father in heaven, I am a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. I know I cannot work for or earn salvation. I know I need to have my sins washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Father in heaven, right now I take you at your word. I accept the free gift of grace, the free gift of life in Jesus. And right now, I accept Christ as my personal Savior. My friend, now you can open your eyes. If you indeed prayed that prayer this morning, right now your spiritual eyes just opened. And the Bible says that if you prayed that prayer out of a pure heart in sincerity, that right now the Holy Spirit has already touched you and you have come alive in Jesus Christ. And my friend, that is the prerequisite to becoming an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now, the second characteristic of an ambassador is that he carries the power of the president, or the power of the king. In 1866, Alfred Nobel invented what up to that time was the most powerful explosive in the history of the world, namely nitroglycerin. And after long meditation, he and his colleagues chose the word by which it would be recognized from that point on, namely the word dynamite. Now, very interesting, because the word dynamite is the Greek word dunamis, directly from the New Testament, the word which is used to represent the power of Jesus Christ. Luke the physician speaks of the miracles of Jesus. The dunamis, the power of the Lord, was present to heal. It was promised to the apostles, Luke 24, ye shall be endued with power from on high. Or Paul says, Romans chapter 1, Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And my friend, let me emphasize again and again in your hearing this day, that if you are to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you require the power of God's Holy Spirit. And endued with power from on high, you will be able to go forth in that power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be able to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Another characteristic of an ambassador. An ambassador always lives in a foreign land. Always lives in a foreign land. And of course, that brings to mind what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship, and that's not particularly a good translation, it should be our politics. Our politics are in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a very vivid memory in my mind. I spend a lot of time in South America, and as you know, stability of government is not of high priority in most South American countries, and governments seem to fall rather quickly and rather easily. And at one occasion, there was a revolution there. And very often in South American cities, around the plaza, in the center of the city, and in other parts of the city, there are all kinds of PA systems. And I remember that that day there was an announcement by radio that the government had fallen and a new government had taken its place. And across the PA system there came this message and this warning: foreigners, keep out of this. Foreigners, keep out of this. And again, that reminded me that we are foreigners. We are on foreign territory in this world as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Paul says, he reminds us that we are to be blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. And he says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And I don't have to justify my statement to you that this world in which we are ambassadors today is a defiled world. It is a dirty world. And all you have to do is to take 5 minutes and read the newspapers, or to watch the television, or listen to the radio, and you will be able to gauge the degree of defilement in this world in which we are called to be ambassadors. And I think particularly of the suicide rate among high school kids. Did you realize that at the present time, more high school kids take their lives by their own hands than the sum total of all other diseases combined? Suicide among adolescents today in this defiled world is an epidemic. It exists in epidemic proportions. And it ranks with murders and accidents as the leading cause of death among 15 to 24-year-olds in our society today in 1985. I could go on and emphasize the teenage immorality which exists in our society today. There has been a dissolution of values in our society today, much of it fostered by secular education and secular humanism, and the values have been thrown out. The values have been taught out in our school systems today. And as a result, venereal disease and teenage pregnancy, they both act as a barometer of the defilement of our society today. And the fact that there has been a gradual and almost complete dissolution of the value systems and the mores in our society. I could mention the epidemic of drug abuse. Again, additional evidence of the fact that we are in a defiled world. And then another mark of an ambassador is that he has this protection of his king, the protection of his president. Psalm 91, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He shall cover me with his feathers. Under his wings will I trust as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and his truth shall be my armament, because the eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. As we go forth as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, let us glory in the fact that we are protected by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Another characteristic of an ambassador is that his or her exclusive function is to represent the king, is to represent the president. And therefore, we have to be very, very careful about our behavior. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy. Now, the essential meaning of the Greek word holy in the New Testament is to be different from others. To be different from others. A living sacrifice, different from your neighbors. Different from your co-workers, different from your fellow students, to be essentially different because your home is in a different place and you are there representing the king. And so the apostle says, be not conformed to this defiled world, but be transformed by God's psychiatry. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I wish I had time to go into this in greater length, but I have to watch the clock. Let me give you another characteristic of an ambassador. An ambassador always has available a hotline to the king. An ambassador always has available a hotline for direct communication to his president. And so the apostle says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. I love the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. He hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I will call upon him as long as I live. As an ambassador for Jesus Christ, in order to function the way that God would have you function, it is necessary to be constantly in communication with the King of Kings. Another characteristic, an ambassador always carries a sealed book of instructions, an authenticated series of regulations and instructions. Did you realize that an ambassador, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, that you too have a book of instructions? You remember what was said of the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, because this should characterize you in Raleigh. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. My friend, I hope that you receive the word today with an open mind. My prayer is that you will receive the word with all readiness of mind, and if you do not know Jesus, that you will make that commitment to Christ before you leave this place today. And my friend, if you do know Jesus, my prayer is that you will make a rededication of yourself, your prayer life, your study of the Word of God, so that you will constantly come to the Word of God with an open mind, with all readiness of mind, and a willingness to search the Scriptures, not just on Sundays, and not just on Wednesday evening, but to search the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. And my friend, if you would like to be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ, taking out into the world, this defiled world, the message that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, then living in prayer and saturating your mind in the Word of God, keeping in touch with the King in the power of God's Holy Spirit, then you will be prepared to go out and be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The Word of God is quick. The Word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides even soul and spirit, joints and marrows, and it discerns the thoughts and intent of the heart. My friend, I speak today as a lover of the Word of God, and I am not ashamed to say, as an academician and as a scientist, that the Bible is the bedrock of my faith. The Bible is my security as an ambassador. The Bible is my authority. The Bible is my compass in my life. It is my guide. It is my reference point. It is the divinely inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of the living God. And I am not ashamed of the Book of God. And without this book, I cannot function as an ambassador. This Word of God, which is quick and powerful, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, I encourage you, my friend, today to memorize it and memorize it and memorize it, because a million years from now there will be nothing left of Raleigh or nothing left of the United States or nothing left of this world, but the Word of God will live and abide forever. Memorize the Word of God. The psalmist said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And what happens when we take in the Word of God? It nourishes my spirit. It goes directly to my new nature. It passes to the new man, the inward man, to the divine nature. And it results in a renewal spiritually and psychologically of my mind. And I begin to behave like a new creature, like an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And therefore, my friend, today I would say to you, study, study diligently the book that God has given you, which authenticates you as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Study the Word of God diligently. As it is implanted within us, you will notice that it will begin to flow into your spirit, into your psycho-theological dimension, and it will produce change, it will produce joy. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Speak the Word of God wherever you go as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The redeemed of the Lord are to say so. And I wish I could speak longer about this book of the ambassador. But until Jesus comes, my plan is, I encourage you as an ambassador for Jesus Christ to believe this book and to benefit from this book and to bow yourself daily before the Word of God. But then the ambassador always has a message. And the message that we bring to the world, whether it's in Raleigh or whether it's in some other corner of the world, is simply this: neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be born again. And the Bible is clear. God has given us a message to communicate to the world. And the message of the living Word is light from glory, that men who are dead in trespasses and in sins have the ability of Jesus and may be touched by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, may become new creatures in Jesus Christ. My friend, if you know Jesus today, make a conscious determination to rededicate your life to Christ today, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, giving His message to the world. My friend, if you do not know Jesus, don't leave this place today without making a personal confession of Christ as Savior. And if you already made that in the service today, please don't leave here without letting me know of the decision that you have made, that you are going to be henceforth an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Jackson. Turn to hymn number 252. We'll sing the second stanza only. Number 252. You've heard much about ambassadors this morning, but the first thing that must happen is to be born in the land, to be born into the family of God. And truly, as we sing this second stanza, it tells us that Jesus shed his precious blood that we might have that salvation. If you would like to talk to Brother Jackson or Brother Pallon or any of the rest of us, feel free to do so after we sing this hymn. Number 252, the second stanza. May we stand, please.